Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Thinking in a devil to help me get things right.
Yeah, 422. Hope you're having a lovely Friday. It's funny, a guy called in earlier talking about, maybe you even brought up Evan, talking about our start to summer show down at DJ's in Belmar last year. But I've not heard anything about a second annual broadcast down there. And maybe I don't talk to Spike that much because, you know, he's Spike. But have you heard anything about that or no?
I don't know if you've heard, but I've been away from the building for the last few days. I've heard less than nothing.
Yeah, I'm assuming it's sadly not happening.
Why?
I don't know, because it's 2 months away from, like, today.
How long do you have to plan for something like that?
I mean, I could go there tomorrow, dude.
Yeah.
I got no problem being there, but, you know, it's a setup and engineering and all the things. And remember, we had the road race last year, right?
How could I forget, bro?
Matter of fact, I think we should re-release the documentary about, you know, Blue Eyes.
Yes.
Right?
Definitely. You absolutely should.
Is Izzo still here? Connor, can you grab Izzo for me?
No shot.
He is not here. He's left the building.
Not here.
Craig,
I forgot. A day ends in a Y.
It's Friday at 4:30. Let me make a guess. Yeah. Other than Connor, Big Mac, and you, there's nobody.
No, I think the architect is here.
No way.
Yeah, I think the architect is here.
Yeah, I often see him wandering the building on Friday nights.
Because he likes to turn all the lights off to save money.
I do give him credit. He is there at all hours.
Yes,
I respect that.
That is an all-in boss. There's no doubt about that. Matter of fact, when I got a very lucky parking spot on a side street today, and as I was walking into the building, I bumped into Spike and in his car. And I'm like, hey, Spike! That's the program director here. Yeah. I'm like, that's it? Because I got here at about 12:30, 12:30, 12:45 or so.
Right.
And I'm like, that's it. He goes, yeah, it's been a long week.
It's been a long week? What the hell's been going on?
I have no idea. I guess the morning guys are giving him a hard time. High maintenance. I don't know.
Did you see, by the way, because this is crazy, what I just witnessed.
Yeah.
Have you seen the Anthony Rendon video from last night?
I have not.
All right, I want you to look at it.
First of all, tell people who Anthony Rendon is.
So Anthony Rendon is a guy who got a massive contract for the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim. He's paid to not play baseball because he's always hurt, but obviously former National, signed with the Angels a few years ago. Last night, after the Angels lost to the A's, Shohei Ohtani pitches great.
Wasn't he a National for a bit?
I just said that.
He was.
Okay. Yes.
Yep.
That's when he was successful and he was a Met killer. So Anthony Rendon is leaving the field last night, leaving the ballpark.
Did he pitch last night?
Anthony Rendon is a third baseman, Craig.
Okay, so he didn't pitch. No. The answer is no.
No. Shohei Ohtani pitched.
Right, but to be fair, Weisenheimer, I asked if he pitched last night.
Why would he pitch?
The answer is no, he didn't.
He's a third baseman.
That wasn't the question.
Usually he's in a rehab facility because he got hurt and he's recovering from it. So Anthony Rendon is walking out of the ballpark area into the locker room. Trout's behind him. Ohtani's behind him. And all of a sudden, he grabs a fan by the shirt.
Yeah.
And you hear the interaction in which he says to the fan.
I have the audio if you want. I'm sorry to interrupt you, but I have it if you want to play it.
Would you like to hear the audio, Craig?
I just saw the video, so play the audio. Go ahead.
That's my shirt. What do you say? Yeah, you called me a bitch, huh? Yeah, you did. Yeah,
motherfucker. Calm down.
So basically, he...
So he claims the guy called him a bitch.
Yes.
And he grabbed the guy and then tried to punch the guy in the face, but the guy kind of was able to free himself from the grip of Randone.
That's the worst
part. And that's that.
So he's grabbing him by the shirt, which is bad enough as an active player, as anybody. You can't do that to a fan. And then, as he's pulling away, takes a swipe at him.
Listen, I got to tell you something. That fan was the bitch. I don't like even using that term, so I'm not going to use that again. I apologize for even saying that. I've told you a million times, Evan, if you're going to get in a fight, higher ground, Anthony Rendon would have gotten his ass kicked.
Yeah, but Craig.
The guy got scared because he grabbed his shirt, and then the guy got all quiet, like, I didn't call you that. I would never call you that.
I don't know if the fan called him that or not. I have no idea. He probably did. As a player, you got to earmuffs, as they say. You can't react. You can't grab the guy by the shirt and take a swing at him. And it feels like this kind of stuff's happening more than ever. And maybe it's more
more in basketball, for sure.
Well, yeah, but here's a baseball example.
Yeah, I'm saying, like, and that's the proximity of fans to the court. So, yeah, I'm with you on that. Yeah, like, I don't know what prompted it. I saw the video you guys are talking about. So, he was upset. He claims the guy called him the B word and went over to say, "What'd you call me?" But, he goes, "I didn't call you anything."
But Craig, don't you think, and I'm not exonerating the fan at all. Obviously, you shouldn't do that. You shouldn't be screaming at anybody like that. But don't you think that happens on a nightly basis at Yankee Stadium?
100%.
And for the most part, you're not seeing, other than Miles Straw, you're not seeing guys climb the fence and go after fans.
The thing that gets me, and maybe I don't know who the other angel is that's standing next to Rendon. It looks like Mike Trout, but it probably isn't. That guy just kind of walks away. Like, if you have a teammate that is now physically engaged with a fan, and you don't know if that fan's been drinking or, you know, what his story might be, and you see a teammate now physically engaged with a fan, and you just walk away?
Yeah.
Like, what's that all about?
And Ohtani's walking past him, too. Did you see that?
I didn't see that part. And I'll tell you something else. This is a pet peeve I have. Even though I do like a lot of these fight video, Twitter accounts, and I do watch them, it still amazes me how many people film it and don't try to help out.
Because they want the views
because
on the video.
These are, I guess, the Oakland A's section. Yeah. I guess the game was in Oakland,
I guess,
right?
Yeah, it was at the Oakland Coliseum, yeah.
Like, Anthony Rendon's lucky he didn't get his ass kicked. That five A's fans didn't jump him, of course. There aren't five A's fans in the building. Maybe that's why.
No, but they're walking through a runway, so guys would have to jump onto the runway and from their seats.
You don't think guys would do that?
There were police officers right there. They just didn't do anything. They were just watching.
And you still don't think people would jump over and try to beat some guy's ass?
I don't know. I think at that point, Mike Trout would have gotten involved.
Yeah, he probably would have swung and missed. Do you think that Major League Baseball now fines Anthony Rendon for the physical engagement?
Fines? He should be suspended. What do you mean fines?
I mean, I wouldn't suspend him for it.
Craig, he took a swing at a fan.
Yeah, well, maybe the fan deserved it.
That's not the way Major League Baseball is going to look at it. They're not going to just look at what the fan did. The fan was wrong. We all know that. But you can't have players doing that. They have to almost know, hey, crap's going to be yelled at me. I got to ignore him. Like, what made this, of all the moments, the time where Anthony Rendon slapped? Yeah, why? Because the Angels lost again? What else
I think you lose to Oakland. And what was the box score? What did Rendon do yesterday? Over?
Well, they barely scored. I don't think they scored any runs, so I doubt he played well.
I think it was the final score. 2-1, I think they lost, right?
Yeah.
Although, I'll tell you this, Hunter Renfroe made the catch of a lifetime. By the way, to save Ohtani from an easy double, maybe a triple.
And
you
Ohtani
saw that catch?
Yes. And Ohtani, for the most part, I mean, Ohtani pitched his ass off. In fact, I read he's the first guy in the history of opening day to pitch 6 scoreless innings, strike out 10, and have his team lose. It's never happened before.
You mean Mike Trout didn't get a clutch hit to win the game?
Unfortunately, Mike Trout was 0-3.
Oh, doesn't that suck?
Anthony Rendon was also 0-3
with
2
strikeouts. So he's frustrated. They lost a game against a bad team that's not even trying to win. And by the way, on the heels of that, you know, everyone's like, well, if you're the owner of the Angels, who I know you hate, and rightfully so.
Artie Moreno, because he's a pathetic owner, yeah.
Yeah, so it's funny. They're like, hey, you know, he gave Mike Trout a lot of money. You know, everyone thinks that Ohtani's going to go to the Dodgers or the Mets or whatever. You know, would Artie Moreno come up with the dough that's going to cost? Well, on the same day that they were discussing the prospects of the owner of the Angels giving Ohtani, or at least making a qualified offer to Ohtani, even if he winds up losing him and has to wind up trading him, is the same day that Artie Moreno announced he's not sending his radio play-by-play crew on road trips because it's too expensive.
Yeah, but maybe he's doing that to save as many dollars as he can for Shohei Ohtani.
Like, come on, man, you're a billionaire. And you're not sending two people on the road?
I don't know what team Ohtani's going to be on, whether it's the Mets, the Mariners, the Padres, the Dodgers, the Giants, whomever. I have no idea. But the one thing I do know is he won't be on the Angels because, A, Moreno's not outbidding everybody, and, B, Shohei knows what's going on around him. He wants to pitch in relevance. Yeah. This is pathetic. This is embarrassing with that franchise.
I know this doesn't mean anything, but I was told again yesterday, and it's not a knock on the Yankees or the Mets, that Ohtani has again told everyone, I'm not leaving California. Maybe. That he loves California.
You know what makes sense? It's very
and
risky.
It's so weird that, I mean, we're a game into a season, and it's already, that is the storyline of that dude.
Because he's a transcendent free agent on a team going nowhere. But here's the thing you've got to consider, and it's very risky, if you're the Mets or the Yankees, and that's trading for him. Because the only way you may be able to ever convince him to stay is to have him here. Like, it's probably going
to
be...
And to win.
Right. Like, if you trade for Ohtani, which he has no choice on, he's a rental player.
Right.
And he comes to the Mets.
He
experiences New York, and he wins here. You have a much better chance of keeping him. Now, are you willing to risk giving up your four best prospects for the possibility of a two-month rental? It's very risky, but it may be your only shot.
Right. And he may be that good a talent where you're willing to take that shot because he puts you over the edge.
Well, he definitely gives you a better chance to win. You're basically acquiring two players, assuming he can pitch and hit at the same time.
It's kind
of
like the Jets and Aaron Rodgers, but for a different period of time.
No, it's not like that at all,
yeah,
honestly.
Yeah, very similar,
no, it's
actually.
Not. No, absolutely incorrect.
The New York Jets are going to make a trade for a guy that now would give you a year, maybe nothing more.
And what are they giving up for him?
They're giving up draft picks.
Okay. The Mets and Yankees would have to give up.
People, right?
No, they're not. They're not people yet. They're just draft picks.
But they become people.
Yeah, but they're not humans.
No, but
the
Mets
would be giving up
dead human beings.
But you don't know who they are.
But they're people.
It's different.
Not really.
Jason Dominguez is a person. Ronnie Mauricio is a human.
The 22nd pick in the draft is a person.
Not right now, it's not.
Who the person is.
But it might not be the same guy. You might value somebody else at 27.
But
you're giving
still
up that
a person.
Pick.
No,
yeah,
it's not.
It's not your guy.
It's not your guy. You have no idea who it is.
It is very similar.
No, it's not.
Almost exactly.
No,
as
it's
a matter
not.
Of fact.
You're so wrong about this because the Jets are offering no risk. The Mets and Yankees would be giving up three potential stars for 2 months of Ohtani. And I think it's a great by the way, if it's worth it.
A guy in the minor leagues is not a human being in the pros.
Correct.
A draft pick isn't either.
Correct. Jason Dominguez is very different than a theorized third-round pick. I'm sorry. It's just different. It's completely different.
I hate to tell you this. You're wrong. Jason Dominguez right now is a concept.
He's a player. I watched him play baseball in spring training. He's a human. He's got skill sets. He's a tool.
Concept.
No.
It's something you like to talk about. Oh, maybe he'll become a great player at the pro level.
I also disagree on the amount of, even if we take your argument, I say you're right.
Okay.
The amount of picks you're giving up would not equal the value of three top 100 prospects.
I mean, I'll even give you that one without even trying to argue it. I have no problem with that.
And that's the, and I, by the way, I think come July, it's fascinating because I would be scared to death to trade that much young talent.
You have to think from your vantage point as a Met fan that the New York Mets, you know, obviously, however the year plays itself out going into the few weeks prior to the trade deadline, that you can convince yourself and Steve Cohen that recognizing the risk that you may not have him beyond this year, that getting Shohei Ohtani, nothing's guaranteed, obviously, puts you over the edge to win a title.
Right, but you're also giving up. Obviously, you win a World Series, it's all worth it. I totally agree with you.
Yeah, because we have said a million times that we will sell our souls and buy a championship and never get one again. We're good with it.
Yeah, but you are making that trade.
Although I wouldn't
thinking,
sell my soul. I don't like using that term anymore because if your soul lives on forever, I ain't selling my soul for a Jet Super Bowl. I can tell you that right now.
What's your soul really going to do? What's your soul doing 100 years from
now? I'm going to talk to a guy driving an Uber who will pick up my kids one day, and they'll say, Daddy's talking to you. Seatbelt psychic.
Yeah.
Who I found out the other day is a fraud.
Which one? The psychic Uber?
Yeah, the psychic, the seatbelt psychic guy, Thomas John.
Yeah.
Apparently, we were sent a couple videos, me and Big Mac, from Izzo, from a woman whose sole purpose in life is to prove that these psychic type medium types are scam artists.
Mm-hmm.
Because I love this guy, and he comes up with crap that's like, oh my God, how'd you come up with that? And she has apparently figured out how.
Really?
Yes. Very quickly, without getting the weeds on it, producers of an alleged reality show put out a wide casting net. Do you want to be on a reality show? Thousands of people show up. They fill out very extensive questionnaires about themselves, their lives, their social media accounts, all that stuff. The claim now is that production staff does a deep dive on all these people, where you're from, what your name is. If you're on Facebook, anybody die that you send prayers out to. And they give all that information to this guy, Thomas Chong. And then the ones that they think they've got a lot of good stuff on, they say you're getting a callback to be on the reality show. He's just, in theory, a random Uber driver that comes to pick them up to take them to the rehearsal. And they're told there are going to be cameras in the car. That's for our purposes. Don't look in the camera. Just, we'll get you when we get you. And this guy's now driving going, when you got in the car, I felt a presence with you. Your father's mother? And were you kidnapped when you were 9? And your people go crazy. But that's how they do it.
But that's just one person. I mean, I think overall these mediums are, they're crazy, like legit.
I want to believe they're legit. Hard to believe they're legit.
I don't have a dog in this fight, but once I had a medium on an old radio show I did and somehow knew about my dead great-grandmother. And
yeah,
there was
because
no way
Evan
know.
Roberts on the radio,
no,
I could research you.
There was no research of it. It was
and
like
plus
2002.
There's a good chance your great-grandmother's dead.
Well, she was dead, but the person knew her name. Like,
let me guess. I'm seeing someone, Evan. Does the letter, it's a hard-sounding letter, is a K or a D? Does that make sense to you?
No.
Maybe
no.
A J?
No.
Yeah, an M?
No.
You know, a D?
Want to go through every letter?
Right.
This person knew right away. I think there's some validity to it.
Okay. Like,
I'm just saying.
Me, I want to believe, and I fell hook, line, and sinker for this clown, and now you got these people out there that have done a pretty good job. You know, disproving
so
it.
So then, if it's all been disproven, why would you be afraid to sell your soul? What the hell is your soul going to do? 100 years from now?
What does your soul do? Just follow around your relatives and hope they get in the right Uber cab?
Like, exactly.
Listen, there's got to be something.
You guys,
sounds like a boring soul life to me.
Here's the difference between me and you. I think there's something else out there. I do. Whether
what?
You want to call it God or spirituality, you could pick that on your own, right? I don't know
I don't think
you just die and you're dead.
Okay. Let's say you're right.
I don't.
And you sold your soul.
I don't anymore.
All right. You're right. Let's just, you're right.
I'm not selling my soul.
But where would your soul even go then?
Well,
who's
see, here's the
it?
Thing. Here's the reality. None of us, you included, all right, are capable enough or smart enough to process a world of spirits. We can only think of ourselves as tangible beings.
Right.
There might be a whole heck of a lot more out there that we just don't know about.
I hope you're right. I am certainly not rooting against you being right.
Yeah, so I'm not selling my soul.
All right.
Because you sell your soul. It sounds like you go to a bad place for eternity.
So
I don't want that.
So you don't want Shohei Ohtani. That's basically what you're saying.
Listen, now I'm not going to sell my soul to get Shohei Ohtani.
You're selling your fandom soul.
No.
And your future for the chance to date her for 2 months.
I am convinced
that's what you're doing.
Myself through a very traumatic life experiences to become a much more spiritual person. And I'm not messing with that. My man. I'm not. I am messing around.
Why do you assume man?
Here's the reality of TikTok, Evan. Okay?
Sexist.
Because God made us in his image.
Therefore, yeah,
God's
more,
a man.
There's women, too.
That's just chubby guys with boobs.
What?
And then they evolved into women. No, I don't know.
This is brought to you by Craig Garden. He's just joking around.
Well, like we asked this question the other day. Like, why does the painting of Adam and Eve, like, why do they have belly buttons?
Because they had belly buttons.
there'd be no purpose for a belly button if they weren't born. Why would they have a belly button?
It's such a loaded question. I'm not answering.
There's no rational reason for them to have belly buttons.
Because they were probably born, is the point.
But you follow where I'm going?
No, I do. Your logic is great.
The paint thing is not connected to the Bible because they wouldn't have belly buttons if it was.
Right. He created them in the image knowing going forward they would have belly buttons.
I mean, he wouldn't have a belly button either.
No, but he God knew that eventually humans would have belly buttons.
Well, so he said, he's all knowing. Right. You got to give that.
Let's make them look like their ancestors.
Yeah, I don't want to go off on too deep on this.
No, you don't want to? You sure?
I really don't.
It's only been, 15 minutes?
Can we all agree to this? What?
My line's still, Evan saying who's buying was the best.
There's something else out there. Can we agree to that?
Just
agree to this.
I'm not agreeing to anything.
You can't tell me that you honestly believe 20 billion years ago there was a random explosion.
Yes.
And a random explosion led to this.
Yes, I believe that.
No, then you're stupid.
Okay, then you know what? I accept my stupid. But here's what I do know. I know that I don't know. And I don't know what the truth is, so I go with the whole, I don't know, I'm going to lean towards no card. That's where I'm at.
Fair enough. I respect your decision.
Thank you.
I'm going to go the other way.
That's fine.
There's something. I don't know what the hell it is, but there's something I respect.
So the moral of this is we're not selling our souls for Shohei Ohtani.
No,
is that
you
what we
are,
learned?
And I'm not.
No, I never said I would.
No, that's the whole purpose of this conversation. You said you'd sell your soul for Ohtani.
I said it's a worthy discussion, but I haven't decided yet if I'm going to have the balls come late July to trade every prospect I have to date her for 2 months, because that's all it is. Because the only real shot you probably have at getting this guy to stay here long term is to show him how great New York is. Do you not agree with that thesis?
Then we're in a lot of trouble.
No, then do you take the risk? Like, would you trade Dominguez, Volpe too? Got to throw him in there. I know you won't do that. Would you do it all for Shohei Ohtani? Because maybe after 2 months, he's going to fall in love with the pinstripes and never leave?
No, and if it's based on falling in love with the city the way the city currently is, he ain't staying. Sorry.
I don't buy that at all.
I'm just saying that's the truth. I'm sorry. The city needs to get its act together.
So L.A. is such a great city. We're all so intimidated.
I don't know. I've never lived in L.A.
Okay, but then why do we assume every other city is so great? This is what we typically do.
Some cities aren't great.
Name them. Is L.A. great?
Kansas City's pretty nice.
Oh, yeah. He's going to Kansas City.
Chicago's pretty nice.
Is it? Is that what people in Chicago say?
I think so. I think they're pretty happy with their city.
You know, I'm a proud New Yorker. I'm so sick and tired of everybody bad-mouthing it. It just pisses me off. You know what? You hate it so much, leave. How about that?
You did.
I didn't leave. I worked there every day. I love the city. I go to sporting events all the time.
You moved out the first chance you could.
I moved out to just have more room. But I love New York City. I love it. I wouldn't trade it for the world. And I'm sick and tired of this just constant bad-mouthing.
Yeah,
I'm sick. I'm telling you, it's just obnoxious.
Okay, because there's a lot of cities where Elmo will stick you up at gunpoint in the middle of Times Square.
There are other cities where that happens. We're not the only ones.
And the Cookie Monster's the lookout. Here's Michael Lakewood. Michael, what do you got, kiddo?
Yeah, I was actually, me and my friends were the one by the game screaming John and Susan.
Nice. How did they react to it?
We didn't see any reaction from them, but people in the section loved it.
Yeah, but did you reference George Steinbrenner's box at all?
No.
Oh, that's what you got to do.
We said, John, you're the GOAT.
Oh, and I'm shocked he didn't respond to that. He would have loved that.
Well, thank you there. Appreciate it.
You know, I got to tell you, Susan, here's some whippersnappers out there. Let me take a listen to hear what they're saying. John, you're the GOAT.
What is that?
Telling me I'm the greatest of all time, Susan.
No. You wouldn't know what goat is. You'd be like, Susan, why are they calling me an animal here? I don't understand.
Yeah? You're listening to yourself. That's awesome. If you said to God, John, yo, John, you're the goat. You're the goat. He might do a goat sound back for you. It's possible.
Yeah. Think about all the modern ways you talk to people. He'd have no idea. Like, if someone says, John Sterling is him, he'd be like, what up?
That's right, I am. I'm him. I am whatever that means.
Okay. Yeah.
He'd be like, John Sterling's the goat. Oh, you mean that old Jim Brewer bit? Oh, good boy. Big fan. I think Brewer's coming to the comedy event in June, too.
The great Jim Brewer.
I got to check with him. Haven't seen Jimmy in a little bit. Give him a little quick little text here.
I enjoyed his comedy last time because what was great about him, he was the headliner at the Paramount a year ago. He had a lot of Met jokes. I mean, he came out
and
he's
a diehard Met fan.
No, I know, but it was awesome because remember, the entire crowd is Met fans, baseball fans. So all the baseball jokes everyone loved, Craig had to look at me and say, what does that mean, Evan? I don't understand. What does that mean?
No, I did not say, what does that mean?
You had no idea.
I said, who's he talking about?
Who's this Vogelbach guy? I don't understand.
He did do a funny impersonation of Vogelbach. Yeah. And I think the whole bit was unscripted, too.
Oh, was it?
Yeah.
He was great.
They're all great. Berg is going to be back again if they'll allow him to be. He's coming in here one day. I was talking to him yesterday. Yo, he's Aaron funny, Berg's thrown out the first pitch at a Met game this year.
Is he?
Yeah, diehard Met fan.
Huge
Met fan.
Did you see who sang the national anthem at the Cardinals game
yesterday? Yeah, and what's amazing about it, so I'll set it up that you can finish it. So they're doing the pregame introductions, first baseline, they go out there, and they pretty much have the whole Cardinal team out there, right? And then the announcer says, and now to sing our national anthem, Uncle Charlie. Now, I'm like, what the hell's Uncle Charlie? Is that like a country music act? I don't know.
Ask Carlos Beltran who Uncle Charlie is.
Tell him what happened.
Adam Wainwright came out and sang the national anthem.
So, longtime Cardinal pitcher. This is his last year. He announced he's retiring. He goes to home plate to sing the anthem. And, again, I watched it. It appeared to me that none of the guys had any idea.
Correct.
That he was doing it.
Correct.
Or I guess that he could even sing.
Yeah, so they had no idea. So not only was the crowd surprised, like, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
But all of his teammates had no idea. The Cardinals went to him recently and offered him to do it, and he said no. And I guess he changed his mind and said, all right, screw it, I'll do it. And Adam Wainwright had a very solid rendition of the national anthem.
He was a little country-ish, but it was good. Yeah, he did a good job, right?
Yes, he did a fine job.
I thought that was cool. That's why opening day is great. Like, you're not going to get that on a random Wednesday. You know, opening day, you get things like that. You get the guy in L.A. proposing to his girlfriend, getting tackled by Terry Tate, the office manager, and it's all good.
Wainwright's a good guy. We reached out to Adam Wainwright for him to join the RICO, where I would tell him how much I hate his guts. And he agreed to it, but said he wants the season to end first. He doesn't want to do his trash talk until his career is over.
I respect that. That means he's going to be a great guest.
It's going to be epic.
To acknowledge that, listen, I will do it, but because I'm playing right now, it won't, let me retire, and then I'm all in.
Apparently, I'm going to go after him, and he's going after the Mets, and we're going to go. It'll be fun, but he wanted to wait till there was no bulletin board material, so I appreciate
that. Well, then I'm not going to tell you what John Smoltz told me this morning about the Tom Glavine to the New York Mets situation.
I already despise Tom Glavine so much, I doubt there's anything you could say that would make me dislike him. As a baseball player, Tom is actually a really good dude. But as a baseball player, I freaking hate him.
Yeah, okay? I know.
So there's nothing you can say.
There might be.
Go ahead.
No, I'm not going to. I mean, go watch it.
No, go ahead.
No. It's okay. Go watch it.
I tried to watch your show. You weren't on. So I'm sorry. Not my fault.
Did they at least have a thing on that said, hey, the Carton show's on at 9:30?
I didn't see it, so no.
Yeah, well, they probably didn't do it.
I didn't see it. I saw that my radio partner wasn't on, and I quickly shut it off.
Well,
Now you can tell me, what did John have to say about Tommy Glavine?
I will tell you off air, all right?
Why?
Well, he shared one story on air. He shared another story
off air.
Yes.
And this will make me dislike him more.
Oh, Tom Glavine?
Yes.
Yeah, I think so.
Wow.
Like, how could you possibly dislike him anymore? He lost the game to the Marlins. That's it.
That's not the game that kills me, but okay.
Was it his first game as a Met?
That's up there, but that's not the game that kills me.
Because he bookend bad starts.
Yes, he did, but it was actually game 5 of the 06 NLCS that just annoys the crap out of me. This is why you're here, Tommy. Mets give you a lead. You don't give it back immediately. And that's what he did.
Okay, well, there you have it.
I can't stand Tom Glavine, the Met. Now, Tom is a good guy, and he's openly talked about his failures, and I've told him how he feels, and he told me how he felt, and I do really have great respect for how honest he is, yeah. And he's a nice guy. But as a baseball player, oh, my God. Oh!
Yeah.
Can't stand him.
You done? You good?
Yeah, I'm done now. Go do your thing.
877-337-6666. Carton and Roberts on the Fan coming up in a little bit. The very public message John Mara gave to Brian Daboll, which includes a shot at Rex Ryan. I'll explain to you coming up in a little bit.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.